fewest of all people. But it was because of the Lord loved you and kept you the oath of, that he sworn to his ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who have loved him and kept his command. Galatians 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but we do not use your freedom, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather to serve one another humbly in love. Galatians 6:3-5. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves, for each should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves above without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle them in the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who is the light of the Holy Spirit, did instruct the hearts of the faithful. Grant them the same Holy Spirit that we may truly be wise and ever enjoying his consolation through Jesus Christ. Lord, be with our pastor as he prepares your words. Fill him with your Spirit and open our ears and hearts to what he has to say. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, online community, for watching today. We remember you and love you and appreciate you being with us. Know that you're making sacrifices to protect people that you love and you remember. And I'm glad to see you here in the house as well. There's a story that you may have heard before because it's been told many times. A story about orphans who were discovered at the end of World War II. And the version I heard placed them in Russia. As the war was being mopped up and cleaned up, they found kids who didn't have any home, any parents. They didn't know who they belonged to, so they gathered them up and started to care for them and gave them food and medicine and shelter. But they found that these kids were not able to sleep through the night. They were still just too troubled and too scared to sleep through the night. So they called for a psychologist to come and find out what the problem was. And the psychologist said, give them a loaf of bread. Give them just a little piece of bread and tell them it's not for eating, just to hold on to. And when they had that loaf of bread in their hands, they could lay their heads down and sleep. Because their world was so erratic and dangerous and unsure that when they had that assurance that at least tomorrow they would have bread, then they could rest. Today we're going to learn about faithfulness, and faithfulness, my friends, is that loaf of bread in your hands that's going to be with you tonight when you close your eyes. And tomorrow the Lord's going to love you just like he did today, and you are going to love the Lord tomorrow just like you did today. So when I was looking this up, this is the next word in the list here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, faithfulness. When I was looking this up in the original language to see if I might know what I'm talking about, there it was in front of me, the Greek word pistis, transliterated P-I-S-T-I-S. And I knew right away that's the word for faith. That is faith right there. That is the word that is translated faith. So why does it read faithfulness in my Bible? And I looked at maybe 60 or so translations, a quick overview. And two-thirds of them would translate it faithfulness, and one-third would translate it faith. So I had to do some studying and researching. And I'm very thankful that I ran into the New Testament professor from Northern Seminary named Nijay Gupta, the author of Paul and the Language of Faith. And he had put out a video, he and the interviewer, just 4 days ago. I was lucky enough to catch this when it was 2 days old, talking about this Greek word for faith. I remember preaching a sermon in Dubuque about faith, and I was surprised to find back then that the Greek word for faith is only applied to relationships. It's a word that isn't like our English word for faith, where you can just take it on faith that that the earth is round. We flat earthers have followers all around the globe, you know. Take it on faith that the earth is round, for example. You haven't been in space, whatever. We have some of our English definitions of the word faith, and the one that we tend to gravitate toward is the one that absolutely does not apply to the Greek word. The word in English that we say faith sometimes, not always, but sometimes means accepting something without evidence. Believing that something is true. Truly believing that something is true without sufficient evidence to prove it. Without proof. That's not at all what the Greek word faith means. And that's not what the word that's translated faithfulness means that we're looking at. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not working in your life to give you the ability to shut off your reason and trust in something that you don't have evidence for. No. The Holy Spirit is working in your life to give you a committed trust in a personal God, in Jesus. You see, as Dr. Gupta puts it, this Greek word is used in situations of social concord. It's covenant language. And when the Hebrews, who were explaining their Old Testament to Greek speakers, were explaining God and His covenants, God making promises, they used this word pistis, this word faith. God is faithful. God keeps His promises. God will engage and enter into a relationship with you that has this personal trust. Dr. Gupta also puts it like this. This is the vernacular way of saying what faith is. Faith is being on Team Jesus. Team Jesus. Like, you're in. You bought the t-shirt. You're ready to go. You're in the canoe paddling. This is what you've signed up for. You signed up for Jesus Himself. When you have faith, it means you have put yourself into Jesus' arms. You're trusting His heart. Whatever Jesus is, whether He's good or bad or whatever He is, that's where you're going. That's who you trust in. That's faith. You can have a belief in your mind that Christ rose from the dead, but what the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you about in your soul and in your heart and call you to, it's called the effectual calling in Reformed tradition. What the Lord is going to call you to is to Jesus. Come unto me, Jesus says. Come and follow me, Jesus says. That's faith. So why is it translated faithfulness? Well, Madeline, a couple weeks ago, we were chatting on the phone, and she's so excited. She can't wait. As soon as she graduates, she's going to load up her Jeep with the new tires and move straight here for a gap year or a decade. I don't know. We'll see. She's so excited, and she was happy to report to me that she's cooking. I'm happy to see that, too. This is the kind of thing that 20-somethings call adulting. You know, when you've had people do it for you your whole life, and all of a sudden, you do it for yourself. That's called adulting. Facebooking. Facebook, you know, is not really a verb, but Facebooking is when you're on Facebook talking to people. Adulting is when you're acting like an adult. And faithfulness is when you're faithing. Faithfulness is when you're trusting in Jesus. You're in that covenant relationship with Jesus. He has called to you, said, follow me, and you're saying, yes. Yes. Where you go, I will follow. Yes. Yes, right now in this moment, I'm following you. Now, I want to clear up some potential off-ramps to this highway of faith and faithing that we might have. Because it's very easy for us. John Calvin called the human heart. It's very easy for us to replace God with something less. John Calvin called the human heart an idol-making factory. And a simple way to understand an idol, since we don't live in a culture that makes statues and expects the spirit of a celestial being to come live in that statue. We don't live in a culture like that. The easiest way for us to understand idolatry is for us to say that we would rather devote our heart, we'd rather be on team thing than Team Jesus. We'd rather devote our heart to what our hands have made, what we've created. When I was a pastor in Oregon on a little church on a hillside, very much like this church, about the same size, in a town of 800 people, and you know what a small town is like and what a small church is like, and you can imagine what it might have felt like in this story. I went to see him after a big surgery, and he was not to be long for this world. And I don't remember the details, but I remember we knew that. And we talked about faith. His wife was very, very devoted and very regular at the church, and he was devoted to avoiding the church. And he had some anger and bitter feelings. And his description for what we were, just up the hill from his house, is that we were the Mutual Admiration Society. That's what he called the church, the Mutual Admiration Society. Now, it's good. You know, I admire Jesus in you. I love seeing Jesus in you. I do. Psalm 16 says, as for the saints in the land, they are all my delight. I feel that way. But it's important for me to note that the reason I feel that way is because the Holy Spirit is in you. If I, you know, if someday go to Walmart and everybody there just means just as much to me as you do when you're talking about the Lord, then I know Jesus came back or something. It's good. You should love everybody and love your neighbor and have respect for everyone made in God's image, but there is an admiration that happens. It's not because of your commitment to church, though. You didn't, if you have heard the internal call of God, it wasn't a call to something that we've built or organized. It was a call to Jesus himself. And the congregation of the Lord's flock is the Lord's flock gathering, the Lord's congregation. Jesus said, I will build my church. And so, we are not the Mutual Admiration Society, although we admire Christ in one another. In John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus gives us the safeguard to make sure that our faithing is faithfulness as it's described in Galatians 5:22, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you come to the sheep pen through the door, then you're the good shepherd. But if you come in some other way, over the wall, you're a thief and a robber. Jesus is the door for the sheep. We come in to the flock. We come into God's care through Jesus. The faith that we're called to is faith in Jesus. And so if your Christianity is churchianity, then that's going over the wall. When I was a kid, I was baptized in the Congregational Church in Corvallis, Oregon. I remember how it smelled. I remember the earth tones of the 70s that everyone wore. I remember the Birkenstocks. I remember the lobby where we'd walk in and the way it would sound, and the panel with the wooden name tags, the way the pews felt, the way the choir sounded, the way my dad sounded when we sang. I remember sitting up front for the children's sermon and the sound of the pastor's voice. And if I had gotten on Team Congregational Church, my faith would be done. Because even though the church is still standing and there's still pastors and there are still people, that church from the 70s is over. It's gone. Back then, contemporary music was Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore. And love is just like a magic penny. You give it away, you'll end up with more, by the way. That was the contemporary music that we sang back then. That church is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. You can put your trust in a pastor. You can faith into a pastor. You can be on team pastor. When I was a Presbyterian in Bend, Oregon, and I came to this Presbyterian church for the first time, it was a warm church, and the pastor's son was in my sixth grade class, and he was the Mr. Rogers of Central Oregon, you know. He was just a calm and happy guy that made you feel good. And he was gone 2 years later. And if my faith would have been team pastor, then my faith would have ended right then. You're not called of the Holy Spirit into team pastor or team church. You're called into team Jesus. He is the door. Don't go over the wall. You go over the wall, you won't get what the Holy Spirit is cultivating in you. You won't get it with local tradition. You won't get it with your Christian nation. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. And Jesus is doing things. I'm gonna look up a few for you. When you get in the canoe with Jesus and you say, I have faith in you, I've heard your call, I'm going to follow you, then we have what is written up in Hebrews chapter 11. This is called the Hall of Faith. The whole chapter is devoted to what faith looks like in people's lives. And to save time, I'm going to jump to the end. What's happening here in the verses that I'm about to read are the things that were reflected in people's lives when they were in the boat with the Lord, with Yahweh, the God who Jesus was in the flesh for us. Because these people had faith and they were in a covenant relationship, they had devoted themselves to a personal God, that God was doing things and it led to these events in their lives. Which more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, and shut the mouths of lions. Quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And the conversation goes on. The Lord was overcoming dark obstacles, and as they were with the Lord, they overcame. Faith is active. Faith will cause things to happen in your life, even persecutions. Because the world doesn't love the Lord. The sin, the flesh, and the devil don't love the Lord. And so, as the Lord is doing his work, there will be opposition. Jesus is doing things. Here's an illustration of what it's like to be with the Lord as he's doing things and the kind of courage that it takes to answer the call. You know, back in the 1800s, there were all kinds of daredevils and Houdini types. And there was a man, I can't remember his name, but this is another one of these classic Bible illustrations that gets talked about and repeated. He stretched a tightrope across Niagara Falls, and he went across with a stick, and he went across in different ways. And then he got a wheelbarrow, and he pushed this wheelbarrow across. And there's a crowd standing and cheering, and he said to them, you know, do you believe I could push this wheelbarrow across? Yeah. Do you think I could do it again? Yeah. Do you think I could do it with a person inside? They all shouted, yeah. Who would like to volunteer? They all laughed. Faith is volunteering to get in the wheelbarrow with Jesus. You know, there'll be some triumphs and there'll be some falls. There'll be some love and there'll be some hatred. There'll be some pleasing your neighbors and there'll be some disappointing your neighbors. It depends on what the Lord is doing, but you know that he's faithful and that he's good. This passage in Deuteronomy that we included lets you know that God has set his affection on you. God loves you. And God's intention is to be good to you, to bless you. But if you were reading in a paper Bible, and maybe you picked up on it in the words on the screen, you would have noticed that there's this little feeling of conditionality to that. Right after the explanation that God will bless you for generations if you love him, comes the explanation that God will judge you to your face if you hate him. And if you're like me, you think to yourself, that's almost perfect. That's really, really good. I really love that news, except for the one small problem, and that is, what if I don't love God just right? Jesus showed us that this really is a problem when he said that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Perhaps you've noticed some point in your life when you didn't perfectly obey maybe just one of God's commands. Maybe you notice that that's a problem that you might face every day. Maybe you notice that we prayed a prayer of confession, just like every Sunday. Right, so how are we supposed to have faith and know that we're really walking with the Lord, that we're really in the canoe, that we're really in the wheelbarrow, that we're really on Team Jesus, that we're really in this covenant loving relationship, that we're really faithful to God? How are we to know if we can't trust ourselves to be perfect? This is how you know that you love God every day and that you are faithful. This is the one way that you know how. Jesus is faithful. And when Jesus came and did his ministry on earth, when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him and he lived his life to God and he did his ministry to the Father, he did it perfectly. He loved God perfectly without flaw for you. He is your mediator. As you are in Jesus, on Team Jesus, as you trust in Him alone, you love God perfectly because Jesus loved God perfectly. You can trust even yourself as you give yourself to Christ, as you follow Christ, as you faith, as you are faithing, as you have faith, as you're committed to Christ. Because Jesus did it. He did it perfectly. You don't have to wonder if you're going to be good enough tomorrow. Believe me, if you accept the Lord's love and love the Lord, it will do more for your obedience than any heavy burden I could ever put on you, telling you to be good and straighten up. There's nothing I could do to tell you to straighten up that will do more than the love of God. The love of God will do more to make you straighten up and fly right than any heavy burden I can put on you. God is faithful. And in Christ, Christ as your representative faithfully loved God. So walking with Jesus is the key. All right, so as I try to wrap this up, I'm going to try to give you one thing to remember and, you know, one simple set of instructions to do. Last week I said, look to Jesus. And this week I just want to say, walk with Jesus. Be with Jesus. When you have faith, it means that you're committed into Him. It's a relational commitment. So don't park in front of the liquor store and tell Jesus to wait in the car. Does that make sense? Don't tell Jesus, I'm on the phone. You don't want to hear this. And begin to talk the way you want to talk. Jesus goes with you everywhere. Walk with Jesus. That's my one message from the sermon today. You know what? You're not perfect. You know it. You know what your tendencies are. You know what the flesh wants to do in your life. We all know it. I know it too. The point in faithfulness is not what you know about yourself, but what you know about Jesus and how He has loved the Father. Jesus' faithfulness is your faithfulness. Okay, that's what's to remember. Here's what to do. When you walk out of church today, these are the two things I want you to do. One is I want you to be thankful. Just thank the Lord. You know what? God has given you the opportunity to be faithful. Something that we think is such a treasure, and it is such a treasure. You need it. And God has given it to you. It's a gift. So be thankful. Thank you, God. I'll take you with me. I'll take you when the phone is on. I'll take you in my conversations. I'll take you with me everywhere I go. I'm faithful through you. Thank you. The other is to rest. I don't know. I try to have my ritual Sunday nap. You know, it's a ritual. This is my favorite part of the Judeo-Christian tradition, you know, Sabbath on Sundays. I get on that couch, put something over my head, and the one time in the week when I can say, forget it, I'm out of here, I'm taking a nap. It may or may not happen today, but even if it doesn't, I will go out of here with an intention to rest, to trust. You know, oh, maybe there's all kinds of little things nagging at me. Maybe I'm in trouble. Maybe everybody's mad at me. Maybe not. Maybe the garage is a mess. Not today. Not today, devil. Not today, accuser. Today I'm going to rest because Jesus was 100% faithful for me. And the Lord has set His affection on me. And the Lord is faithful. And so I am going to rest. And that's going to be my way of having faith. And I'll have it this moment. And I'll go to bed with it tonight, trusting that because Jesus was 100% faithful and He is my mediator, that faithfulness will carry me through the very end. He who began a good work in you will see to it to completion. May the Lord add His blessing to our hearing of His word today.